And welcome to our podcast, Geeks Are Wired, where we're talking about video games, movies, TV, comic books, technology, and TLDR, the Internet of Things. And I'm your host, Bill, and this week we have Joe and Jordan and Alex.
Hello.
Yo.
And Alex, you can find with his Robo V Dino.
Yes, I'm making a video game. If you go to robovdino.com, you can check out my cute video game where you're a robot that collects garbage, throws it at dinosaurs, then you collect the dinosaurs after you knock them out with the garbage.
Yes. And we're anxiously waiting. We're going to buy the game as soon as you're able to release it.
Exactly. It'll be fun.
It's got a big old TBA on the due date for it.
Does it have an ETA at least?
Spring 2018.
Huh. Yeah, I was thinking that's what you said before.
All right.
Yeah, I guess joking about about the release date's probably not smart. So, yeah, it's definitely spring 2018. It's not a TBA.
There you go. Well, then we're going to move into the helpful PSA.
Yes, there's a news story that broke today in security news. There's this new exploit called Meltdown is the term that Google Zero came up with for it. And it's got this companion exploit that I'm not as familiar with called Spectre. You can read more about both exploits on this PSA website that describes what the two attacks are. It's Spectre, and it's the British spelling, attack.com, SPECTREATTACK.com.
And it'll be in the show notes.
Yes. And the gist of it is you should definitely update your computer, regardless of what processor you're running. Apply any security updates you can, like right now. There's this really bad security exploit that affects Windows computers, Mac, Linux, pretty much everything under the sun, because it's a hardware level exploit. And it can actually be exploited through software. All it takes is just visiting a website or running an application from email, anything like the very most basic means of like spreading malware can trigger this exploit. And there's really nothing you can do after it's been run, because it immediately gets kernel. It's immediately reading from kernel level memory space, which lets the attacker get a hold of passwords, get a hold of like decryption keys, all that fun stuff. Rather not fun stuff. I shouldn't joke about that either. This is horrible and awful, to the point that the Intel CEO actually sold off a whole bunch of stock yesterday, the day before the exploit was announced.
You know, so where's James Bond bad enough when you need him?
Exactly. This does sound like a James Bond movie.
Hopefully he's patching up his computers, because this exploit really sucks.
Really, the Intel CEO sold Intel stock?
I'm not sure it's the CEO or president, but yeah, there's it's bad enough that insider trading seems pertinent.
Alex, I don't believe it's truly bad enough until one of them throws themselves out of a window.
That's right. We need our what is that show?
Well, the bug was announced today, so just hold off for a minute. You might get your morbid wish.
What's a big evil corp sort of deal?
Besides Evil Corp?
Evil Corp. There's a show, has Evil Corp.
Yeah.
Mr. Robot.
Mr. Robot, yeah. This is a nice Mr. Robot situation. Yeah. It's the beginning.
they found a flaw that's been around for 20 years.
That's right.
That's usually the best flaws. It's like, oh yeah, these have been around. It's like kind of like the Wi-Fi for WPA 2 or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking into like Kali Linux and all that stuff, and I was like, oh, that's the flaw that it was using?
Yeah.
They announced it like, what, 4 months ago? And I was looking at that like 3 years ago.
I know. It's
making agreeable noises, but I don't know what you're talking about.
Bill, in like 5 years, everyone should just tattoo their social security numbers on their foreheads and just accept the fact, because it's the so depressing that it always happens, because they're just like, I already lost all my credit information to the Russians, apparently, and everything's getting hacked into and melted down. That statistically, somebody already has my stuff a million times over. Because apparently, security is a joke.
The trick, Joe, is to be poor enough that it doesn't matter.
I know.
You mean be poor enough that, you know, when somebody gets your information,
they'll say,
all they can
oh,
do is
shit.
Improve it.
Yeah.
They try to use your credit information to get a loan, but then they realize you're too poor to be viable for a loan.
They actually start paying off your loans. We're like, we're sorry.
I know. It's they're right. Like, sorry for the inconvenience.
Yeah. Or we need to improve your credit so we can use you.
It is true, though. I wouldn't want to be like the multimillionaire, because that would be the time that it would suck with mine. I'm just like, I'm the social worker. I could give you a crappy low middle class lifestyle.
So, guys, I did a little research, and the Intel CEO didn't sell off a whole bunch of stock yesterday.
Okay, that makes more sense.
He sold off in November.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So he's known since November, you're saying?
I mean, he bought a house. Okay. But, I mean, if it's definitely not possible that he could have seen this coming, decide to sell stock and buy a house. Sure. I mean, that's...
Yeah,
there's no way that could have been done.
It would seem like a bad business move anyways to, like, as soon as it's revealed that your company is vulnerable to something like this, immediately sell stock to your own company. Just triggering other people to do the same and just crashing your company.
This is a good argument against the monopolies. Like, I don't know if we talked about that on the podcast, because that is the main problem, where you have a system where everyone has to have like one of one things for the most part. They're like, guess what? The only thing you're allowed to have in all the computers sucks. Sorry.
Well, I have an AMD processor in some of my computers, but I'm not safe still.
Well, yeah, I was gonna say, like, a monopoly or not, this probably doesn't matter. Intel is for sure exploitable by Meltdown. Google's zero day security research lab had indicated that AMD and ARM might also be affected by this. So it's like, it's not just Intel in all likelihood.
So this
it's super bad.
This CPU data cache timing, which is the vulnerability, it's not just a proprietary approach. It spans multiple companies.
Yeah, it has more to do with the no security checks being at the hardware level for a user space process accessing kernel space memory through that predictive execution. I guess the way I saw it explained on the website that I mentioned and Bill's going to link to is that you've got a CPU that's sitting there. It is frequently doing like two or three tasks, and a couple of those tasks it's doing so frequently it just kind of keeps those at hand. And if something asks for the stuff from that space, which, I mean, might be a decryption key, might be a password, something like that. It probably won't actually be like a text password, but it could very well be a decryption key. If it's keeping that on hand, there aren't any security checks at the hardware level to prevent something in user space accessing that. So that's basically why this is actually a problem, just because there's no hardware level security to prevent that from happening. All they can really do is just add in like an abstraction layer between the user and the user and kernel level. There is already one in most operating systems, but specifically for that predictive execution. The stinky part of that is a performance enhancement, not adding that abstraction layer, but having that predictive access is a performance enhancement.
Yeah.
And adding anything between that and the user space is going to result in between like a 5 and like, I think as high as 30% decrease in performance.
Oh, wow.
It's really bad. It's not going to affect gaming, thankfully, because that processor feature doesn't particularly help gaming. it's going to hit servers really hard, which sucks for the internet. There's already reports coming back from Amazon's AWS cloud just running really stinky right now, and it's probably because of applying patches for this.
By patches, you mean they're increasing the abstraction layers, or just
I don't know all the details of what the security patches do. And I use the term abstraction layer, even though that's not in the document. That's just the way I chose to describe it. It's more or less just adding in a software level security check on those requests to that exploitable piece of hardware.
Okay.
I'm speaking. If you want to go to the website, they've actually got like a technical write up from the Google Zero team and actually a few other folks too, from different security firms. Reported Meltdown and its cousin Spectre. You probably want to go there if you've got any questions, because they'll also have updates to it, which this recording sadly won't.
So if we suddenly go offline, we'll try to post this podcast.
Yes. That's right.
I'm clicking on all these websites. Hopefully I'm not infected more than I probably already am. Which actually goes
until you get like a Windows update and you're until you get your updates in and you're reasonably sure that the security patch was applied for Meltdown, you probably shouldn't just like be surfing for giggles, because again, this exploit could be done through JavaScript.
Actually, you could totally shut down JavaScript on your browser.
You could.
What's the other fun stuff? And what is actually funny, because there used to be a bad thing with Intel. Used to be a joke, warning Intel inside. Now it's warning Intel inside. Again. Yeah, this is quite the technical paper, actually. They have. Which is always good, actually, to look at these, because it's better than hearing what some news agencies say. And even with what we're saying, there's still quite a bit in here. And if you can understand a lot of it, they're worth skims. And actually, the Spectre one, even though it's all extremely technical, 14 pages.
Yeah, I didn't have enough time to translate from nerdinese.
Yeah.
I was mostly concerned about the Meltdown one, because there are already patches for it. So I'm trying to get those applied right now. But referring directly to SpectreAttack.com, there are patches against Meltdown for Linux, Windows, and OS X. There's also work to harden software against future exploitation of Spectre, respectively to patch software and exploitation through Spectre, but they don't offer any details in that paragraph. So again, you probably want to just refer to the website and just apply your updates. That's kind of the best approach now. I wouldn't do too much research before applying the updates, because it's trademark really, really bad.
Yeah. There's actually some interesting stuff with the Spectre one. I'm just like skimming through it. And actually, Meltdown doesn't even look like it's too long. It's got...
Yeah, it's about equivalent, isn't it?
Yeah, with there's page length. References. 15.
Yeah.
You know, pages. So, yes, there's lots of technical... But there's pictures. There's pretty pictures. I always enjoy my pretty pictures when I read. Yeah. Which now makes that, you know, what, 50?
I'm a little sad that they made like... little logos for each of the exploits, and one of them is like a melting shield, which works, and the other one is like a malicious looking ghost with a stick.
Looks like a Snapchat ghost.
Yeah, actually.
Yeah. I don't know if they should use like cute graphics for that, because it makes this a lot less threatening looking.
Plus, when I was thinking Spectre, I was actually thinking like Bond, all that.
Yeah, they need the squid thing.
Especially, what were they talking about? They named it Spectre because it's probably gonna be around for a while, or.
Mm-hmm. So it will haunt you for long after this has passed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or for quite some time, yeah.
Okay. So, happy 2018.
Yay!
That's right.
Happy 20.
Off to a good start already.
Yeah, we're finding over 20-year-old bugs. Bugs from the last entry. Man, that year 2000 bugs still haunt us.
That's right. I know. They won't die.
Actually, let's go with the other flaws. Let's go with this one. If you have Amazon came out with their drop UPS can drop off your packages inside your house. They scan a package and they go, yes, this is an Amazon package. Let's put it inside. And the Amazon door lock
unlocks. Oh, yeah. I remember you talking about that.
Yeah. So then UPS can drop it inside. Well, the problem with that is that
it also doesn't work.
Well, okay. So if your internet, if your Wi-Fi gets disrupted or somebody block, you know, also the WPA too, where you can, you know, kind of, block somebody's Wi-Fi from working or try to reset things to connect to it. If you can block it, your device, your lock can then be unlocked after it's been given permission. So it's more of like if a bad UPS person, but I'm sure there's other ways that be found. But then your cameras don't record because it goes straight to the cloud. Nothing records locally. So the person gets in and then you never see that they got in the house.
They can run around naked around your house.
Oh, yeah. Never see any problems with it.
What weirdo at this point is signing up for Amazon Key? there can't be anybody who's volunteered for this.
People who want UPS people to run around.
I know.
Well, that was the idea. Like, maybe this time.
The camera was supposed to protect the people so UPS couldn't like,
until
do
it
that.
Doesn't work like everything.
Yeah.
I know, but that's like a weird supervillain move. Like, aha, to make this fight fair, I'll tie one hand behind my back or something like that. It's like, well, I want to make sure that a guy can get in my house when I'm not around. So I'm going to put up a camera for it. I created the problem and I implemented a worse solution.
Well, this is all Amazon Inc. But the idea is Amazon was trying to reduce the number of packages taken. So this was actually implemented in larger cities where this is a problem.
I'd rather risk my new Neil Gaiman book than have people wandering in my house.
Yeah.
To drop off my stupid CDs
but
and stuff.
This is the sad part, though, is Amazon goes, our stuff's perfect. It's your Wi-Fi that sucks. I'm like, if you're going to say that, I'm not buying your product.
Yeah.
I don't care if my Wi-Fi sucks. You had better not.
It's bad. I really have a hard time imagining that this is going to catch on.
I know.
I wonder if it will increase the amount of packages delivered. And by that, I'm talking about when taking a dump.
Exactly.
What, haven't you ever heard of the UPS guy walk or knock on your door and like, here's your package. By the way, can I borrow your bathroom?
I would actually like that experience. It would be
I'd
novel.
Let him. Yeah.
I was like, so what, you know, they just drop off the package inside and then use your bathroom real quick.
Yeah.
Well, you have the nice little sprays for them.
Like, my dog will bite your face, but it's okay.
I don't know about using a stranger's bathroom. There's cameras everywhere these days.
Yeah.
It's like, I suppose I shouldn't care. They're welcome to it if that's their thing. But the same, I don't know. It feels.
Yeah. I just have a live stream. It'd be the double cross. I'd be like, you took a dump and my entry to my house. But little did you know is I have a successful YouTube channel that's UPS Men Gone Wild that I'm uploading all your shenanigans.
There you go.
I think Joe stumbled upon that is who's signing up for this. Basically, people who run YouTube channels and want to just like mess with their UPS men.
It's the bum fights of the 21st
century. Exactly.
There you go.
What's the name of that YouTuber that everyone well not everyone like tweens are really into? Jake Paul.
Is that the
oh
one
yeah,
that just got in trouble recently.
Yeah, over something, but I'll bet he's gonna get an Amazon key and then just like and then just like makes some poor UPS person's life just hell.
If that's the one I'm thinking of, because I recall that there's a recent YouTube star controversy where he was caught filming.
Yes,
filming
that is the one.
Yeah, okay,
I don't even really care about because he did a bad thing and he thought he was doing good, whether he thinks so or not.
You thought he
just
was doing good?
Yeah. Just not even going to deal with it. He did a bad thing.
Oh.
And that's that.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, that's how you deal with people when you're like, no, you're not important.
Someone
you're somebody
whatever,
who did a bad
it's
thing.
Like you're bad.
You're
it. We drop it there.
Yep.
Okay.
Speaking of bad things, Ridley Scott explained why Blade Runner 2049 was so bad.
Are you saying the length thing?
No, he's saying bombed, not bad. It was a masterpiece.
It's slow and too long. Basically, the gist of it all.
No. Ridley Scott shouldn't be talking because that guy made a movie better than Ridley Scott would have made that movie.
Wasn't Batman versus Superman longer than this movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. It wasn't too long. I don't buy that because, like, every Marvel movies are like 2.5 hour epics. So I don't feel like people have the fatigue. They're like, it's 10 minutes longer than Spider-Man Homecoming. That's why I didn't watch it.
Exactly. No, yeah. I just think people didn't get the nostalgia off of it as much as the people had hoped. Like, it doesn't have the Star Wars level or the Star Trek level of fan base.
Well, it's always like the cult one. Yeah, that's what I thought. It's like people love the first one, love this one, and they made it well for the fans, but it didn't break out because
it didn't bring any new fans in. It didn't. And that's what Marvel's been trying to. What Disney was doing with Marvel is, okay, we have our fan base. Let's bring more in.
I'm not sure Ridley Scott's a reliable source there because every movie he made bombed.
I know. He had his Covenant and that bombed too. That's what he should be worried about.
I don't know. Disney owns it now, so maybe he'll get his Disneyfied version.
No.
No? Oh.
I don't want Disneyfied aliens.
You don't want happy aliens with the Mickey Mouse hats.
Michael Fassbender. Exactly. No, it was, yeah, it seriously isn't that much longer than most movies that have been out, so I don't really buy that.
Hey, he's saying he should have taken out a half hour, which would have defeated...
No, he shouldn't have taken out a half an hour.
It's perfect as
Alex
it is.
Updated. Yeah. No. Alex just updated.
Yeah, don't listen to Ridley Scott.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ridley Scott doesn't know what he's talking about.
The best you say is your theory, Bill. That's what it was, because even when my wife watched it, she wasn't a huge fan of the first one. And she recognized that the second one was a better movie, but it still wasn't enough to completely win her over. Is that he made it so faithful that he was more concerned with pleasing the original fan base, which he did. Mm-hmm. It's my favorite movie of the year. It's a successful movie in what it was going for. And the good thing, too, is it doesn't matter if it bombed because it's a self-contained movie. It wasn't trying to start the Blade Runner franchise. They're not going to do the next year, or what is it? Ryan Gosling, A Blade Runner Story. So it's done and over with.
That's true. I concur. Ridley Scott, he once was a good director. Like, he's had his moments, but now I think that
Time has come and passed.
Yeah. Well,
almost literally. He's like 80 years old. But whatever. Ridley Scott, I guess he has his opinions. Not good opinions, apparently.
Okay. Well, how about a really bad movie?
Which one?
The Disaster Artist.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, it's not a bad movie. It's a bad movie about... or
it's a good movie about the making of a bad movie.
There you go.
Yeah.
So yeah. I never got to see it because Pocatello's too small to show those type of movies.
Which I don't understand why, because
Idaho
it's not any smaller than, like, we got Three Billboards here, which I think is more of an obscure film than this one, because this one is the James Franco and Seth Rogen gang hanging out.
Yeah.
Like, it's about an obscure concept, so maybe that was it.
Maybe.
But the movie's, like, it's totally accessible. It is a little more, like, artsfully made than your typical, like Seth Rogen directed movies, you know? Because he didn't direct this one, but I mean, you know what I mean.
And he was on SNL, so advertising it. So obviously was supposed to, should have been bigger.
It is a super awesome movie, though. It's well worth watching because you should watch The Room, which we found that was free on YouTube.
Yes, there's plenty of places it's free.
Yeah.
I saw it there and I really thought they like had dubbed it or something. And I saw like people reviewing it and I realized, no. That is exactly how bad it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty bad movie.
But you still could appreciate it because even if you watch this without watching The Room, it'll like, because I told Jordan when I watched it, it's the vicious cycle is that regardless, because I watched The Room and it made me like this. But then when this was over, it makes you want to watch The Room. So even if you watch it cold, you'll because they don't like keep you in the dark. The most you lose out on is like a couple inside jokes because they'll like actually show the filming of certain scenes. And then you really like appreciate like the background people where they're like, why is he doing it this way? This is ridiculous. And then you remember the scene in real life and you say, yeah, it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
And that's mostly what Seth Rogen's character is that because the guy is just this man of mystery who's independently wealthy, and he just decides he gets rejected all across Hollywood. So that's kind of the first start of it too. And then he says, oh, I have a bottomless pit of money. So he just goes to a place and he's like, sell me cameras, hire me a cast. And he just does his own casting and just shoots his own film.
Oh, yeah. That MC, you're tearing me apart.
Yeah.
No, it's not just, it's just the local one. You know, yeah. And there's plenty of, it's just because, what's it? Idaho Falls didn't have it either.
Yeah. But they were still showing movies. Like, they brought back The Mountain Between Us. It was like a September movie. And there's all these other movies that were playing for way too long. Because I'm like, I'm sorry, Bad Moms 2, you decided to release a Christmas movie in October, but it doesn't mean it needs to still be there by December.
But I blame the people who still go.
Yeah. I do blame them too.
Actually, did you hear that Star Wars was beat out?
By what?
Jumanji.
Oh, yeah.
For one whole day.
Yeah. That doesn't surprise me, because the day I went, it was super crowded.
Yeah, but only for one day. Then Star Wars took back over.
What, as far as, like, it's butts and seats?
Yeah, well, at least money in, you know, pockets. Or money in Disney's pocket.
Yeah.
I want to state on record that I don't understand the draw of The Rock. I don't understand it.
It's his special move. It's his, you know...
Yeah, they reference it in Jumanji. It was his power. It's like his scalding, or what did they call it? It's smoldering.
Smoldering,
yeah.
Look. That's
he
why.
Smolders? There are plenty of people
smolder.
Who smolder.
I don't think it's smolder.
I think it's his smoldering. Yeah.
He has a smoldering look.
Because he looks and everyone, yeah.
Yeah, they kind of recoil and go, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Or the women kind of lean forward, apparently. Was the joke. And the other kind of mediocre jokes of that movie.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Okay, it was smoldering.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember my bad jokes, unfortunately.
No, smoldering intensity. That's what it was.
With the power of smoldering intensity. No, what's funny, though, Bill, is that this did show the power of expectations, because I told Jordan, mostly to irritate him, that I like this movie more than Star Wars, which still is a little true. But at the same time, it's just the expectations, because I had sky high expectations for that. And I had zero. Like, I thought Jumanji was going to be unwatchable. And then when I found out, yeah, from the trailers, it looks so stupid. And then when the audience was receiving it, okay, it got mixed like 79% from critics. I was like, okay, I'll give it a watch. And then I think I was mostly pleased because it was the juvenile, entertaining, watchable movie that wasn't, yeah. It didn't overstay its welcome, but it also is not, I don't think I'd ever watch it. If I did watch it, it'd be the movie I was vacuuming and it happened to be accidentally streaming. Like, I left it on the menu for it on Netflix and it started playing, and then I might.
I actually liked it better than Ridley Scott's movie, All the Money in the World.
Yeah.
Although they both, it's incremental, because they both basically met my minimum expectations of, I didn't walk out on it. That's because I am totally willing to walk out on movies now.
So you guys just were kind of mediocrely to bottom end on that movie.
Yeah. No, I enjoyed it more than Jordan did. I thought it was fun. It was a fun adventure. I don't regret watching it. Like, they said it was a movie, if you had your movie pass, you'd be annoyed that you spent money on. And I differ there, that I'd say, it was what it was. It was 2 hours in a theater that was fun. It was fine.
I enjoyed it. I plan on buying it. Actually, it made me want to go back and watch the first one.
Yeah.
Which I know the first one's kind of, you know, it's kind of got that classic feel. Probably the more memories and like, oh, that's an okay movie.
Yeah, because the first one's okay too. Like, there was an Onion article that nailed that too. As they said, man hopes new Jumanji movie doesn't ruin his mediocre experience in the 90s. He's like, I remember watching that movie at a matinee and thinking it was okay. And I hope this movie doesn't tarnish that memory.
I would say the original was better than this, but I would also concede that it's not that much better.
Yeah, I need to go back and watch it too.
I don't know. They're good. Or at least the new one is, like, you don't need to have seen the first one.
Yeah. Well, I like that they did their own thing with it too, because it was fun. It had some good humor with how people were dying and just playing into the lives and the different, like, interplay. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, I found that some of the jokes were Yeah, they were amusing, but the action sequences when they arrived were very boring. And so there were segments where I felt that it just was saggy and I was just waiting for them to crack one-liners at each other again. And so, yeah, I think my objection lies primarily with the action sequences, which I hated.
Aw. But yeah.
What about?
But no, Bill, there really is the power of that, though, too, because preconceived expectations really do impact it. Because even Justice League, like, I'm Team DC. I like it. I'm going to get Justice League. I've got all the other movies. But I watch it with, like, nervous anticipation. I was like, I hope you're just mediocre. And then I watched it. I was like, no, I liked you more than mediocre. Mm-hmm. And then I enjoyed the movie way more because of it.
True. Okay.
So that's what it was. Jumanji, I was just like...
And see, I think the other thing I also like about this Star Wars that's doing well is one a year. I kind of enjoy that.
I don't. It's too much. But I'm not a big Star Wars person either. So I can see if you love Star Wars, about one a year is enough to feed it to you.
So well, if you have quality movies coming out, then one a year is great. But I feel that the last one, I was on the fence with Rogue One. But
I didn't like the music to it. And some of the nods were kind of like, and I felt like it was more like a good Rogue One episode.
Oh, okay.
Or not Rogue One, I guess a good
Rebels episode.
Yeah, Rebels episode, like a really good Rebels episode. But like the music, I was like, could have done that better.
I did love the end action. Like that whole sequence was better than anything in The Last Jedi, as far as when they're actually storming the planet and stuff too.
I did like The Last Jedi, but... Again, that was my B movie. So far, Force Awakens is my only. I think that I gave that an A, or an A minus at least.
I thought I did. I thought the rest of you gave like B's and C's.
No.
No, you're talking about The Last Jedi.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about Force
Awakens.
Awakens.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Or
Last Jedi I gave a B, but I don't know. Is the concepts like Han Solo and was it Boba Fett? Yeah, that makes me not enthusiastic at all. A year, one of those movies every other year, sandwiching the main trilogy, it does not make me very enthusiastic.
Okay. Well, how about, does this make you enthusiastic?
Huh?
Quentin Tarantino directing an R-rated Star Trek.
If it happens.
Is it for reals?
It's for reals.
It's for reals?
For reals?
Reals,
reals.
Wasn't he working on another movie?
He was getting...
This will be after that movie.
Oh, okay.
Well, if it really happens. I know they have
writer. Okay, so they're working on it. They have, they have writers, they have people, they have... the only thing is Tarantino is also a bigger fan of Next Generation over the old.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So this would be a good... way to like move on to, ignoring that one of the actors is really dead.
Yeah.
This will be another Last Jedi and it's the divisiveness of fans because I read a lot of reports of Star Trek fans who are like, it's about the noble spirit of exploration and they're going to just make it more Tarantino-esque as if that were a bad thing. And I love science-y stuff, but I think that Star Trek itself is often inert and tedious, and so I do appreciate a revamping of it.
So you're liking they're moving from the PG-13 to the R.
Absolutely. Hmm. Yeah. I don't think that it's any special remark on the human spirit when you remove the realities, which is violence. Like if you have PG violence, then that's an insulting ploy in dramatics.
So what are you thinking?
I'll just have to wait and see because I did tell Jordan as far as if I have to compare trilogy to trilogy, I already can say, even not seeing the next J.J. Abrams, that the newer Star Trek trilogy is much better than the new Star Wars trilogy because I like the first Star Trek movie the same as The Force Awakens and then Into Darkness was an improvement and The Last Jedi was a fall. So even if the other one is as good as the third one, there's no way it can catch up.
Wow.
They basically have to make literally, like they say every movie, the greatest Star Wars movie ever made, for the third movie to be better than the Star Trek trilogy.
Well, Star Wars did break its billion mark.
Its billion mark?
Yeah.
Well, so does Fast and the Furious. That doesn't mean anything.
Yes, we were talking Transformers. About that last week.
Yeah.
Oh, I see from the Deadline articles that the creator of Community has apologized for inappropriate something, which I'm surmising is something that most people have fallen for recently. It's too bad. I like that guy. He also does Rick and Morty.
Yep, right? Dan Harmon.
So, but it'll be interesting because, you know, Quentin Tarantino usually gets his R ratings for violence, language, and nudity.
Yeah, and if it's fun, it'll be cool because I will probably watch it more in the vein of like another Tarantino movie.
I think he's done maybe three brief nude scenes in his entire career. There's one in Pulp Fiction where it's some dude's ass or bottom. Whichever is the more appropriate. And yeah, I think in it was very, very briefly in Django Unchained. And I think there's one other that I can't recall. But definitely violence and language. Language would be kind of strange in the Star Trek series.
Well, you could say bastard or. You know, kind of the upper end of, you know.
Yeah, I guess you can make genitalia remarks and epithets about feces.
There you go.
But I don't know. I just can't imagine Captain Kirk uttering.
How about Picard?
And Picard.
If he went next gen.
Well, we have a higher tolerance for violence too. So I'd say for Tarantino, he shouldn't constrain himself by being only the R-rated guy. I'd just say he should just be allowed to make the Star Trek movie he wants to make, and whatever it's rated, it'll be rated.
Well,
and
that's
I'm fine
what his
with that.
First argument was, is like, I'm not going to make an R-rated movie, but I don't want the restriction.
Yeah, and that's fine.
But that was last week. This week it was, I'm making an R-rated movie, and you're just all going to deal
with
it.
And I might have a problem with that then, because that's also kind of as lame as like Force saying, oh, we have to be PG-13.
You know,
just make your movie.
Thinking about it, I do think that, if these words were commonly employed during this time, I think that Kirk would use them. Also Picard, because they're human beings. They're like, everyone uses this. Einstein,
I feel like Kirk would use it more than Picard. Picard always felt like, you know, he was, you know, it's kind of like the idea of Vader that doesn't need to use the cheesy line. It's just his presence and his like demeanor. You know, it's like, that's what Picard is. He's just like, I can speak to you in such a way you're going to do what I want. And Kirk is like, I'm going to scream at you and yell at you and swear at you, and then you're going to get tired of me doing this, and you're just going to do what I want anyways.
Exactly.
I can see circumstances where Picard would swear, absolutely, because, again, everyone at some point, unless they are extremely restrictive to their vocabulary. It's not a sign of intelligence if you don't swear. But I can see Picard swearing, and I think that it's disingenuous.
I could see, who was his first officer? Riker. I can see Riker swearing.
Yeah.
I can see him swearing more. But Picard, like, cause I still see Picard as that, like.
It wouldn't be a machine gun swearing, but it would be like.
I can see Riker doing machine gun swearing. Actually, that's the other thing, is the fact that a lot of these people are. You know, unlike with the old Star Trek where they, you know, they're old or dead or whatever, the new ones, they're not as old and not dead. Who could replace Picard? Who could replace?
Oh, I'm sure lots.
Or should they just go back with, you know, bring him back in?
They
should just bring the cast back.
Exactly. Everybody the same.
It's like, we're going to go just a little past next gen. Because this is also nice thing about this is next gen after the event, which means it's not the classic TV show next gen.
Right. Yeah, they don't need another Picard. I feel that they did their thing with Kirk, and if they're going to move on, they don't need to just reboot every single one of them with a new timeline.
No, but you see how well, you know, CBS's show is doing.
I hope it's not doing well.
It's only available online if you pay for it.
Yeah.
So
I can't imagine it's doing that well then.
It's growing in piracy.
That's what I was saying. And I was like, no one would just blindly subscribe to something.
Though Game of Thrones did win the most pirated show last year.
It does every
again
time.
it only gets it for one more year. And then it's going to be a different Game of Thrones TV show.
Yeah. That's right.
A Game of Thrones story.
Right. I know. Just all those things.
Yeah, I actually am very curious about that, because if you're going to have a prequel that, well, actually, yeah, it'll have to be a prequel for Game of Thrones, the spinoff. Yeah, I mean, it's totally dependent.
I have a lot of story built up that people have already explained, but it doesn't technically have to be a prequel.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens.
That's what they said with episode 7 through 9.
Oh, yeah, the aftermath of the series. Have to see what goes on.
Yeah, so we don't really know that is true, but it seems probable.
Yeah, Jordan, you think it's going to be George R. Martin's? Because I think it's just him, because he doesn't know how to finish this. He's like, I imagine it super vague and everyone's dead.
He says that he kind of has a compromised Stephen King approach where he does his gardening and just lets things grow, but he knows where he wants to head. So he has an idea of the fates of all the major characters, not a lot of the minor characters. And he essentially knows how the conflict's resolved, but it's up to the television writers to fill in the details. And so I'm sure that in the world where George R. R. Martin actually wrote anymore, and you tried to match up what he finally produced with what they're going to produce, that there would be large differences. But then you'd say, I see shades of similarity. And so I do think more characters is going to be less Disneyland. Like, it has become somewhat of a, with this last season especially, like, it does seem like there's a clear delineation between good guys and bad guys. And there is...
Do you think the last season has a more defined good guys and bad guys?
Well, you see them team like
they all
in
pick
their
camps and stuff.
Even the good guys are picking the bad guys' camp.
Really?
Jamie.
He's not a good guy.
He's not a good guy.
You really don't? He's,
no,
he's,
not at all.
He's regretting being on the bad guys'
he's
side.
He's regretting? Okay, so you have someone who is basically
he's
with
a bad
his
guy,
insane...
but he's not a bad guy.
Okay, so he isn't out murdering children all day long. He's not that bad, but he's a bad person. Like, he
well, with that, come on. But Daenerys is a good person.
She's a better person than Jaime. Clearly,
she just, you know, if you don't follow what I say, I'm going to kill you.
She does that. Yeah,
yeah, but
she also
just like her father, the Mad King.
But no, but she wasn't killing like peasants. She was killing.
But that's just the next step.
Yeah, but still,
I don't think she's taking this step, which is the point. She has even Tyrion. John and John, the super good John, who looks at her and is like, you're pretty great. Everyone around her saying, you know, you do some pretty crazy stuff sometimes, but you're a pretty great person. So I don't think they're at all going down the Mad Queen route.
You think Tyrion's going to stay good?
Yeah.
He just lost his girlfriend.
Yeah, several seasons ago.
No, very officially at the end of this season.
What girlfriend?
He's not Daenerys. Interested in
him. Oh, come on. No. He was so sad.
He was
like, I thought I had a chance.
No, he knows.
Also like Mr. Friendzone.
They wouldn't open his character with, I only have sex with prostitutes if he was aware. And I'm also highly intelligent if he was aware that he could get people normally.
Oh, okay.
He realizes that, yeah.
But he thought he was getting with the... The one girl.
Well, she was also a prostitute, and that was his best case scenario.
That is
he wasn't wooing the queen of the world.
Yeah, we live in a tough world where someone like Tyrion, no matter how intelligent and charming, he's not going to get a very glamorous
John, who is less intelligent but definitely better looking.
John's is not very smart at all.
Is it less intelligent?
Yeah.
And
but he's got those sweet scars and abs
and pretty eyes.
Yeah.
I don't know. In the formula of human interaction, especially relationships, I think that intelligence and being kind count for almost nothing, and that's represented.
Oh.
Yeah.
How dare you?
No, I'd say because they're...
You be quiet, my good sir.
They're intelligent people who are in relationships, but I think that it's not a huge component of why they're in that particular relationship.
Okay. Did you guys ever actually watch Bright?
No. I did watch 5 episodes of Black Mirror.
Okay. Well, you're almost done.
Like, I watched the last one.
Did you end up watching it, Bright, Alex?
I didn't, but I read somewhere that it was the... I read one reviewer say it was the worst movie of 2017, yes, even including Emoji the Movie.
Oh, wow. No,
so
actually,
I'm trying to decide if I want to watch it, but they made it sound like a deeply unpleasant experience.
It can't be that bad.
There could be no like irony lifted from it. It's apparently it was just really awful. I'll see if I can find the review for it, because the review itself is kind of entertaining. But yeah, I lost all interest in watching it after I read that review.
Wow, yeah, that is impressive. And I was hearing actually there was a lot of hate for Bright. I understand some of it. They did it has a 28% Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay,
so it is absolutely down there in ratings. They paid everybody well. Like, they even paid Will Smith like money that he would have made on a movie that would have actually sold DVDs and theater and all that. So they paid people proper movie wages.
I know Netflix is all like, we don't care. They're the Tommy Wiseaus or everything.
Well, no, they have the money. They've been sitting on piles
like,
of money.
No problem. Yeah. No problem. You want $30 million? No problem. Yeah.
Well, they've been sitting on piles of money. They were trying to get everyone else to give them shows. They were backing up trucks of money to everybody, going like, hey, let's bring us your shows. Nobody would, so they kept getting trucks of money. You know, when they have like 109 million subscribers and they're talking about having half of their shows on that they have as their own.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Bright now has a support being terrible. Netflix apparently doesn't care. However many viewers watched them, they're making a sequel, and they're bringing back Will Smith.
Yeah, I believe that. I know. Because
they're only losing like one writer.
It's the Transformers effect.
Yeah.
Where people will watch really bad movies. And
I didn't think it was that. I didn't think it was like bad.
I'm going to give it a whirl. I'm going to still watch it.
Yeah.
I admit, there's plenty of holes.
It can't be the worst movie ever, though. The worst movie is the 50 Shades movie.
Worse than Emoji?
I didn't watch Emoji. I'll never watch that. But 50 Shades, I close my eyes and hum to try and make the movie go away before I just realize I'm a human being who can walk. So I walked away.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Apparently, with the Netflix audience, Adam Sandler movies are the most highly viewed movies. And Adam Sandler, his movies, I mean, difference of opinion, but when I even hear of his movies, I am reduced to a seething rage.
No, I ended up watching one over the break. One of his movies.
And I have to say,
it is one of my favorite movies. Mm-hmm. And it's not because of him. It's because of the other actor in the movie that brings up the quality. Anger Management.
Oh, Jack Nicholson?
Jack Nicholson definitely brings that movie up.
Yeah.
Plenty of pars.
No.
Netflix. Jack Nicholson is a great actor.
Netflix clearly is focusing on quantity over quality. At this point,
at this moment, I can see that. Yeah, where they do want to get half of their, because they're tired of paying out for shows that can be pulled from them or for whatever stupid reasons.
But it's also not practical to just throw insane amounts of money forever, because it really is the. Did you watch the new South Park, where they make fun of Netflix, where they answer the phone, they say, "Netflix, you're greenlit."
Actually, I missed that one.
Yeah.
Wow, I don't know, because that was usually hits Hulu pretty. I must have not been paying attention.
Yeah, you gotta watch it.
Of course,
it.
I might just blame Hulu, because Hulu is... I don't know. I just have
Yeah, they got
sometimes.
The whole season on there. I watched all of it. But yeah, that was their joke.
Last week or this last weekend or last week?
No, it was just over the season. That was like their big joke, though. It's because you just call them and you just say, it's got a dog who cooks waffles and goes on an adventure in a pirate ship. And they're like, you have $100 million. Go
yeah,
for it.
Because they're trying to get Coon and Friends.
Yeah.
The TV show. Yeah. Yeah, I do remember that one.
I kind of think for a streaming service, it makes sense to try to go for breadth over depth. I shouldn't say that I'm defending the quality of Netflix in any way, but it's kind of a smart decision for a streaming service to do that, because if they have something that appeals to, because nobody's going to really be watching stuff unless it goes up on the front page. So I guess Bright is kind of the rebuttal to my argument. But I feel like Netflix, they're basically going to be put in a situation where they have their own content and whatever they can afford from Disney. So they need to have find IPs that they can just milk for every dollar possible, because they need something to go up against Disney.
Yeah,
actually, I totally agree with that.
There's no way avoiding that. Disney will put them out of business eventually if they don't have a comparable war chest of IPs to fall back on.
Well, I think that it's great business. I'm not disputing their business approach, because it is working for them. I just am upset that we live in a world where this is a good business model.
This sucks. This is awful. I hate it.
This has been. We're just in another round of it. Look at, when cable companies had X amount of channels and they would just throw on you have to watch wherever you got. Broadcast channels would have some of the worst TV there is. And then they actually had to start competing against each other.
Well, and HBO's been around forever, so they have the longevity, but I've had an access to streaming of HBO for years. And part of it is because there is other things that I watch too, but I still haven't watched all the shows that I want to watch on HBO. And so.
Makes sense. Yeah.
And part of it is because, they've been around forever too, so there's a lot of shows that date back a long time. But
I also support shows from these streaming services and HBO, because I'll consider them even a streaming.
Yeah.
Because the moment it goes live everywhere. It's not like Hulu, when you get the show the day after. I'm like, no. Or if you pay for your, Amazon subscription or Google,
You get it the next day.
I'm like, no. If you're going to build something big, and I think that's the problem with The Walking Dead, Doctor Who, is they have these shows that are as big as Game of Thrones, and then they go, we know you want to watch it today, but there is no, unless you have cable or you pirate it, there is no way you're going to watch it today. So you're going to have to pay for it tomorrow. So if I'm going to be legit, I'm going to pay for it, you're going to screw me over.
No, I do agree. Yeah, if you're paying for it, that's why HBO will put it up on the web right when it would be airing on cable, so you don't have to go without, which is a good move.
And that's why directly from Hulu, directly from Netflix, it hits everywhere all at once.
I think that I'm probably antagonistic against Netflix right now, because I think what hurts most is that I get really excited by the concepts of their property, and I'm like, that sounds like a great idea, and then I watch it and I'm like, Altered Carbon. That's a great book that is going to be made into a series for Netflix. It's an incredible concept too. It seems like something that has even more potential than Westworld, which I love Westworld.
Yeah.
But I feel I've been burned so many times with Netflix that such a concept only brings up a dull excitement.
And Albert, I was expecting more out of Bright. And then I thought it was interesting the way they took it, kind of mixing our world and, Shadowrun world together kind of thing. So it's like, this works. For a 2-hour movie, okay, there's a lot of holes, a decent amount.
Yeah.
But you're a 2-hour movie. You're a new idea. I'm going to let you have that.
Well, I gotta wonder if Netflix's growing pain they're suffering through right now is in trying to compete with other studios, they've assembled just a mirror image of the production mills that Disney and Fox have, or well, I guess Disney have, where they have to run everything through focus groups and hit these checklists for mass consumption. Because if you take a look at Stranger Things season one, as far as I know, that didn't have the kind of oversight that the second season did. And it's kind of one of those Hail Mary things that Netflix put out. Here's the thing to watch. Cause when it first came out, it wasn't really prominently featured, and then it just blew the hell up, and then Netflix got behind it. But you watch the second season, and it's definitely feels like it was overproduced.
Yes.
So I think Netflix's growing pain they're suffering through right now is they've got innovation, they've got a platform that works. They just, for some reason, chose that they have to put on the same choker chain of production that's plagued movie studios for the last few decades.
I know, it's true. And it should be since you're putting out so much stuff too, that you can be a little more brave and be a little more niche, that you appeal to everybody in selective groups, because It'd be better if there's like the one hardened, broody, all hope is lost sci-fi series, and then another one that's the popcorn that appeals to like the mystical teenagers going on adventures, rather than just two mediocre shows that appeal to everyone while still appealing to no one, really.
Definitely. Netflix does not need to make mass consumption television. They need to make niche consumption television, because Disney is going to always outspend them in every way possible, because they own every IP that consumers enjoy. So they need to like find something new instead of like trying to like focus group things to death.
Well, it is interesting that was mentioned, because Netflix is making Lost in Space and Altered Carbon again, and Lost in Space really.
Yeah, Lost in Space IP. Yeah. That's hot. Yeah. That's on the tip of everyone's tongue.
It definitely is purposed for the entire family appeal. Like, they want to appeal to a very wide crowd, whereas Altered Carbon is super bleak, is uncompromising, is depressing, and no one's good in that. And so if they faithfully adapt it, it's going to be one of those horribly nihilistic shows. But I don't know, even with that tone, that they'll adapt it well, which is my concern with Netflix. Like, they're making The Witcher, which is a super depressing series. Like, it's horribly bleak. It's essentially Poland's answer to A Song of Ice and Fire. And I still, like, I'm excited about that. The notion of that property being adapted, because The Witcher's awesome. But at the same time, I'm like, but Netflix, their spotty history kind of dulls that excitement.
Bill, they did it to Black Mirror too, I hate to say. Because
I slightly kind of sort of.
No, I don't hate it.
I enjoy these episodes.
But it's tonally, it is such a mess. Like, I told Jordan, the first episode and its theory compared to like the dating one, I was like, they contradicted themselves. They both have like AI, and then they're like, oh, in this sense, it's adorable. The other one, it's somehow cruel and inhumane.
Oh,
and they're
I,
like
I
the same
kind of,
tech.
I started like, yeah, like identifying like. Where stuff are you? And you think the AI cruel?
Yeah, it's both the same. Yeah,
wait till episode six. Wait till episode six, and it's going to be really like that one. The end episode does the same thing. They Netflix.
Yeah,
it ties things together. It's kind of like the Christmas episode.
Yeah, because that's
bring all this tech together.
And that's, but I feel like that is the Netflix appeal, because it used to be like the early seasons. It had like its theme where it was all about the dark side of technology and where can these things go if they're taken too far. And usually the endings are pretty bleak. And now I just feel like this episode, I'm like, you have a bleak ending, you have a happy ending, you have kind of a mixture one. I know. And that's the Netflix season.
I did enjoy the good episodes. And plus, they may like the good episodes or the happy ending, because that won them an award last year.
Yeah. And they're clearly trying to go. But that's what I mean, though, is that now they're more concerned with just appealing to everybody, where they're like, oh. And even this season, it was frustrating, because their bleak one, I would watch it and I was like, yeah, it's kind of disturbing, but it was completely pointless. Yeah. Like, I have no idea what the point of any of these episodes were.
And that's why I like Outer Limits a lot.
Yeah.
Most people don't like Black Mirror, so it's kind of bizarre to try to make Black Mirror likable by everybody.
Yeah.
I know.
Is that really a thing? Like, the Black Mirror is generally, I thought it was a popular property.
No, I mean, like, the people who watch Will and Grace aren't watching Black Mirror. There's no, like, it's not panned by critics. It's just that it's not going to be the Orange is the New Black. Like, it's just not going to get that kind of traction. So trying to focus group it doesn't make sense. Like, let it be what it is, because people enjoy that. Like, not every person on Earth enjoys that, but the people that do enjoy it do enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, certain older crowds. Older people might not, because they don't quite understand why this technology is. And I think that's why I liked about Outer Limits, is that it wasn't to pander to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, there's good in technology, there's bad in technology. There was technology, like the idea of everyone's implanted with this device. All you have to do is go like, hey, I want to look up this book. Done. It's in my head. I literally read the entire book in like half a second. I understand the entire story. And there were certain people that couldn't have this chip installed. So he's literally reading these books. He's spending time reading them. And everyone was like, feel sorry for him. But then the technology gets hacked and everybody that has it installed goes into a coma. And Mr. Bookworm is the one who goes, I have to figure out how to turn this off so everyone can wake up again.
Yeah.
And then he breaks his glasses and he says, I had all the time.
I know. He's like, ah. No, it's.
But very original episode concept.
Okay, he didn't break his glasses. He actually saved everybody.
but yeah.
So that was also, Twilight Zone.
Yeah, Twilight Zone. So yeah, Bill, it hasn't lost me, but it has frustrated me in that sense, because that's what I get, as I'm like, oh, now this is good? And I didn't want to spoil it for Jordan, but if you look at that, just think of the AI episode 1 and episode 4. Pretty similar tech, totally different tones.
Well, like I said, 6 is going to... 6 is just going to like go all over the place for you. Like, it's really, really interesting. But I have to admit, I enjoyed episodes in this. None of them tied for my number one episodes.
Yeah.
Because I have 3 number one episodes that I absolutely enjoyed.
Yeah.
What are they? The billion dollar.
Yeah, the credits one.
The billion credits. The Christmas episode.
Yeah.
And the bees episode. The last episode in...
Not the bees.
The bees.
I loved that
episode. I love the white bear episode. That's probably white one bears, of my top 2.
Oh, and that's the other thing. It's actually worthwhile. Have your remote handy.
Okay.
In that 6th episode, when they start going, because it's the Black Museum.
Oh, okay.
Get ready to pause, like at least a couple times. You don't have to, like, you know, it's only like in the, like after they get into the museum for a little bit, just like start really paying attention to things. And then when they start going into the stories, you don't, you know, you could look at things, but you don't worry about it. But they're like, for the first like 5 minutes inside the museum. Wow.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like Easter eggs.
I know, I've heard of that. I am excited to watch it, because like I said, it hasn't lost me. Even the one that everyone said, like the metalhead one, everyone said that was terrible. It was entertaining, but it was still like, yeah, what's the point? It's just getting chased by a robot dog. That was the whole episode. It wasn't terrible, but it was entertaining.
And I started trying to put them in order.
Yeah.
I think the dogs is after the soldiers, timeline wise.
That's what I would think. It has to be.
Maybe, and either one of those two, if not both of them, or somewhere around that, is the billion credit episode. Because I'm wondering if that's why, you know, things, and I'm starting to question whether the billion credit episode is the last one, or is like they recovered from
society. I know, that still feels like that one is definitely the furthest in the future. But
I don't know, episode 6 might change your mind a little.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to see. But yeah, it's...
We'll talk about that later.
I know. I'll watch the last episode. Yeah,
it's worth it. I enjoyed it. Nothing in season 4 though made my top, my number one tied for three-way tie list.
Yeah, it was like definitely so far the dating one. It was my favorite one because that one. But even that one was anti-tone to the series, but I still liked it.
I expected it. Like I didn't think about it as soon as you mentioned it. Like knowing how the entire everything works, I was like, got it. I know. Yes, I get you.
Yeah. Do you get what I mean though with the first episode? That's where it's kind of conflicting, because in that one they're like, "Oh, how they use the AI is adorable." And in the first one they're just like, "This guy deserves death for what he's done." And I was like, "Really? No. No, no, no."
I don't know. We should probably wrap up and then I'll
We
will do famous last words. Alex.
Did a little more research while you guys were talking about Star Wars or something. And apparently those updates that I was stressing at the beginning of the podcast, they aren't available for all operating systems yet. So I guess just keep an ear open, or we'll report back as more is revealed when updates are available for your OS of choice.
Be careful.
But keep smashing that update button. Hopefully you'll get a hit.
Yep. That JavaScript. Be wary. Yeah, always be wary.
I'm unconcerned because my laptop doesn't even work. So, yeah. Hack away, hackers.
Yeah.
If it doesn't connect online, it doesn't get hacked.
Exactly.
Jordan's laptop is patient zero.
Yeah. And I guess what we're saying, Black Mirror season 4? Yeah. It's fine. It's fine.
My famous last words, we still have a Patreon page. And if you subscribe to our Patreon, you can get the episode 1 to 2 days early, depending on how fast I can publish it, before it's available to everybody else. And you can chat with us. And some people need to sign up still for their Discord chat groups. And yeah, there's, you know, it's patreon.com/geeksarewired, because it's so simple.